Oops. Praise the Lord. Someone cut the lights. Oh, praise God. Well, how you guys are doing? Praise the Lord. Oh. Well, this is my last sermon here. But for now, yeah, for now. But praise God. It's a place called home. Oops. What is that there for? Yeah, there you go. Yes. Well, tonight's since it's dark, I think of tonight. But but today's topic will be on about heaven, our home, our heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that your spirit will come upon us, Lord, and inspire us to keep on with this journey, this Christian pilgrim, Lord, till we reach the New Jerusalem, Lord. Please, Father, keep us strong on the way, Lord, and give us strength when we're tired. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, when I was a child, you heard this before, I just like talking about being as a child because I would like to witness to young people from 5-year-olds to 90-year-olds. So, but where are they, as a matter of fact? Oh, they're in church. Okay. Well, praise God. But when I was a child, whenever I would get hurt, I would cry. I want to go home. I want to go home. And I would cry and cry and fuss. And, you know, everybody used to do that. I want my mommy. I want my daddy. Yes. Do it all day long until we get home. But, you know, like Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, right? But still, even as a child of God, I still cry the same way, but spiritually. Amen. I say, I want to go home. When I'm really hurt and depressed and crying, I say, I want to go home. Amen. I want my daddy. That's right. I want my Jesus. Right. I can't wait to see my Father's face. Amen. And not pretend that things are just going to be right. I want to see Jesus. Yeah. I can't wait for that moment. Because like the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 22, we know that the whole world groans and travails in pain. Amen. Until now. We see that this whole earth is travailing in pain as we see people cry and suffer in depression. We see this whole earth travailing in pain as we see people commit suicide. We see this whole world travail in pain as we see kids lying on the street starving to death. Kids in Africa, their stomachs are distended. We see this whole world travailing in pain as people are making weapons for mass destructions that can actually destroy this world twice. We see this earth travailing in pain with pollution, longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. We want to go home. Amen. And you know, in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, it says this, Solomon says this deep statement, very profound. He says, he has made everything, speaking about God, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set eternity in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. So in other words, God, he's made everything beautiful in his times. The way flowers bloom, the way the sun rises and sets, everything is beautiful in his times. But when we look into things and look through microscopes and see the cell, as we get deeper, we find that there's living organisms within that cell and more living organisms within that cell. And we get deeper and deeper until we get to the atom. And we see the neurons surrounding that atom. And it gets deeper until we just go on and we realize that it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And then we look up to the stars and we notice that the earth is rotating around the sun with all the solar the planetary systems circling around the sun, and with the solar system circling around in the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is circling around this cluster of galaxies, and these cluster of galaxies are just circling around just numerous galaxies. And we realized when we look up to the stars, everything goes on forever and ever and ever. That's why it says he has set eternity in their hearts. Everything shows that there is eternity. That's why when things die, there's something wrong. When someone, a family member, somebody, when they die, we feel like that there's something wrong. No matter how old that person may die at the age, we say, man, still, that is not the way it's supposed to be. We have this feeling like we should always live forever and ever. And everything that testifies that there is more to life than what you see here.
Amen.
There is more to life than this. Because if that wasn't so, there would not be so many stars in the sky. If that was not so, there would not be so much grass to walk on. If that was not so, there would not be so much oxygen to breathe. Everything testifies that God has set eternity in their hearts. However we die. But I got good news. I have really, really good news. You guys are ready for it? Okay, you ready?
Lay it on.
Lay it on. Okay. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming. And he's going to reverse the whole system. Nothing will die again. Can you say it with me? Jesus is coming. Say it like you mean it. Jesus is coming. Say it like you see him coming. Jesus is coming. And you know, I made up a song. I want to put it in the hymnal. It goes like this. Anybody can learn this song. Kids, two-year-olds, everybody can learn this song. It goes like this. You ready? Jesus is coming. Jesus is... Can you sing that with me? Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Oh, praise the Lord. That is so much, that's music to my ears. Because the life, he is coming. And I can imagine the demons are trembling like, oh, did you hear that? They're crying that Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Because he is coming. Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
That's going to be the most powerful climactic moment the universe has ever seen. This moment will shake planets, because the Bible says that he has promised that he will not just only shake the earth, but he will shake the heavens. Amen. The moon will move out of its axis. The sun will just blow out a little bit, because his brightness will just overspread everything. Everybody will see his glory, and you will hear his voice. And I can just imagine as things are just going on, you just hear the sounds of numerous angels as a hurricane. You hear the sky, and you feel the sky vibrating with the sound of angels of music. And above that sound, you will hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Shouting. He didn't say he's going to speak in a still small voice.
No.
He's going to shout. He's going to shout. And perhaps he might shout, I am. Perhaps he might shout your name. But whatever it may be, it's going to be so loud that it might just deafen your ears. And you need a new body to hear that sound. Whew. And when Jesus comes, there'll be two people. Those who will say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. This is the Lord. And there'll be another group that will say, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. They'll be running away from him. Those, because they've been doing it all their life. They've been running away from God.
Yeah.
Running away from conviction. Running away from the truth. And when they see him visibly, audibly, they will really try to run. They will want to commit suicide. It will be a disturbing look of fear in their face. But for us, in 1 Corinthians, let me start from verse 51. It says, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Amen.
That's going to be the most powerful moment ever. To see your body actually going in and out and glowing, and then next thing you know, it's changed. If you're missing a body limb, if you have some scars in your body, it will be gone.
Amen.
And you know, Paul, the reason why he writes this is because, one of the reasons why is because, you know, Paul wasn't much of a very handsome looking guy. He went through a lot. He got stoned like twice. To once they thought he died. He got whipped 42 times, twice. He went through a shipwreck. He had chains in his arms for years. I could just imagine this fellow. He has tiger straps all over his back, and he's thinking, man, this shall be changed.
That's right.
This hand will be changed.
Yeah.
You know, when I see my hands actually change, when you and guys will see your hands change, it's going to be so powerful. Because, you know, like, I can imagine myself. I say this all the time. I can imagine myself running, like, testing my body out. Like, oh, man, I can't wait. Whoa, man, I'm going to test this. Whoa, praise the Lord. Whoa, I can't do that before. And then, because the Bible says that, When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, he ran faster than Ahab's chariots.
That's right.
And you know how fast his chariots run? Horses? They run 40 to 50 miles per hour. Elijah was running 40, 50 miles per hour. Now, when you have this immortal body and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, can you imagine what you can do? I can see it now. You know, I'm looking at myself like, praise the Lord, praise God. I can't wait to use this. And then I'm going to test my legs out. Wow, I can run this fast. Then I start to run, and then I start running so fast. I'm running faster than most cars. I'm running 20 miles, 30 miles, running 40 miles, going faster than a locomotive. Until next thing you know, I'm not running on the ground anymore. I'm running on water. I was like, oh, praise the Lord, I've seen Jesus do this. And the next thing you know it, I'll be running on the air. And then as I'm flying in dazzling spins and seeing angels just dodge me and fly down with their trumpets and their harps and everybody singing songs, I see angels and I say, wow, that's how they look. Praise the Lord, they're so tall. And then as I go up higher and higher and higher and higher, oh no, I'm in space. I'm in space. I can't breathe. I'm going to die. Oh no, I'm going to die. Wait. Oh wait, I can't die. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Have you lost a husband? Have you lost a friend? A son? A daughter?
Amen.
To death? You will see them again. You will see all your family members, all your friends that you thought, perhaps you thought they were lost. You will see them flying up together with you. Say, hey! Hey! Connie! You're flying too fast. Let me catch up to you. Everybody be flying up to Jesus, and we will meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
I can't wait. When I see Jesus, I'm like, hey, Jesus. What's your favorite color, God? God, how long is it going to take for us to get to heaven? God, man, I have so many questions to ask you. I just forgot because you're just so beautiful, Lord. And then the Lord, he would take us to heaven. And we pass galaxies, we pass planets, past the sun, past the moon, towards the Orion, until we start landing on the sea of glass. And there's miles and miles of miles of people marching to Zion.
Amen. Yeah.
Some singing songs, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. People are just saying the song, we're marching to Zion. Look at the city. It's right there. And as we're looking at each other, we're like, wow, I can't believe it. And then once we come up to actually the real Mount Zion, like the verse says in Hebrews 12, verse 22, for ye have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, in the company of innumerable angels. And as we stand right there before the city, I can imagine how we'd be breathtaking. Whoa, you seen that? Man, this place is too wonderful for me. Then Jesus will say, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And you're like, "Oh, this is mine." And everybody starts to run towards the city with joy. And some people ask the question, well, will we actually recognize each other? You know, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." We shall know each other.
Yeah.
Probably we may not look like the same way we look today, because we have a lot of faults and, you know, problems with the way we look, but we can still recognize each other.
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, is that Aaron? Hey, Aaron, how you doing? Yeah, that's the way he walks. That's Aaron. That's his mannerisms." And we can recognize each other. And then as we're walking down the sea of glass, going towards the new Jerusalem, the Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 11, "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So we will meet all the saints that we read about in the Bible. First, we would meet our friends. We're like, "Hey, Steve, how you doing? Is that you? Hey, Steve, man, you got hair on your head. Praise the Lord. Man, it's cool, man. Did you comb it? Praise the Lord." And he's like, "Hey, Steve, where's Aaron? He's miles down there. He's talking to millions of people. He's with his mom." I was like, "Oh, really? Well, praise God." And then I'm going to other people and I say, "Hey, let me ask a question. How did you die?" Some people will say, I died in a plane crash." I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But praise God you're here. How did you die?" I got my head cut off." "Oh, I'm glad to see your head together again." "Well, praise God." "Hey, how'd you die?" "I never died."
"That's right."
"You never died? I know who you are. You're Elijah, the one who was taken up by a chariot of fire." "No, I'm not Elijah." "Then who are you?" "Enoch." "Enoch, Enoch, Enoch. Sounds familiar. I don't know. I think I have to read my Bible a little bit more." You know, we will see people that we just read in the Bible, and we see all our friends there, and it'll be so happy then. But then the Bible points out that there might be three questions. Three main questions. Why isn't a certain person there? Why am I here? And how did that person get here? Because that's where we're marching and we're asking people, "Hey, have you seen my cousin so-and-so?" "No, I haven't seen him." "You sure? I swear, I would have sworn he'd be here." And we'd be searching everywhere. "Hey, where's my cousin? I can't find him nowhere." Then somebody might say, "Hey, go to that angel. He has one of the books, the records of life. You can go ask him." And then as we go to the records of life, he says, I can't find him anywhere. Do you know where he is?" He will say, "Well, read this. He's lost. His religion was fake. Came to church Sabbath to Sabbath, but his heart was not changed. Well, he was a hypocrite. Wow, he had a double life. Oh, well, why is he here? I saw that man on American Most Wanted. He gave his life over to Jesus. He confessed his sin. The Lord forgave him. He gave him a new life. Changed his ways. Oh, wow. How did I get here? Man. You gave your life to Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And in Revelation 20, verse 5, it says, "But the rest of the dead, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. We'll be in heaven for 1,000 years looking over the records, and the Bible says that, know ye not that you will even judge the world, that you shall judge angels? You will see things that were behind the scenes. And after the 1,000 years are over, all the dead, all the wicked dead will be resurrected. And there will be people there who expected to be in heaven, who swore they were going to heaven. And I can just imagine it, like I always say, one person say, hey, pastor, how you doing? Hey, I have a question. What is Hitler doing here? And what is that guy doing? I swore they were going to hell. Well, hell is so dark. I mean, heaven is so dark. Why are we here? And then the pastor might say, hey, man, you wouldn't believe this. I went to that city over there. They call it the New Jerusalem. And I was knocking on the door for like what seemed like forever. And I was knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And then finally, Jesus opened the door. Then I asked him, hey, Lord, can you let me in? Then he said, no, I never knew you. But then he would say, but Lord, have I not cast out demons in your name? But Lord, have I not done all these wonderful works in your name? And the Lord will say, I never knew you. Everyone, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but him that does the will of my Father. But Lord, I never knew you. In other words, he's saying, look, we never had a relationship enough for me to say that I knew you. I don't know where you came from. You never talked to me in your house. You never prayed to me. You never confessed your sins. You never continued the route of righteousness. We never had a relationship. I was never in your life. And then he would cast them out into outer darkness, into gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And on the side, you might see people, other family members, sons, looking from the outside into the inside, seeing their parents inside, happy and glad. And the son will be there, Mom, let me in. Let me in. And the mother will say, I can't. I can't let you in. Mom, aren't you sad for me? He says, no, I've seen the records. But Mom, no. I prayed for you for 20 years. I prayed for you on my knees crying. The Spirit of God was convicting you. But you would not. You would not listen to His Spirit. You would avoid conviction. You would avoid reading His Word. So I cannot let you in. But Mom, it'd be too late. Because today is the day of salvation. By then it will be too late. That's the resurrection of condemnation. And the Bible says that the wicked, they rush towards the city and they try to take over it. But then fire comes down from God out of heaven and consumes the wicked. And everything is destroyed. Everybody destroyed. The Bible says that they will be as ashes under the soles of your feet when Jesus, he does this thing. But out of the ashes of the old world, God, Jesus, he will step out the city and he'll start creating again. Yes. He'll make all things new. Plants will grow. We will see plants just blooming out from the ground. Trees towering over in the sky. Clouds coming back. The smoke disappearing. The sky will turn blue again. Everything will turn right back to the way it was supposed to be since the Garden of Eden. This will fulfill in Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Amen. That's going to be so powerful. When we're going to be on the inside of the city watching God create the world all over again. You're like, hey, can you see that? He just fixed up the moon and everything. That's cool. And it says that the former things shall not be remembered. Not because he brainwashes us and we just forget what just happened. But you ever been to a theme park and you've been laughing so much And your stomach is just hard because you've been laughing all day. I mean, in that day, you forgot everything that went wrong in your life. I mean, you will forget everything because out of sight, out of mind. When you don't see no pain, when you don't see no death anymore, you're going to forget it. You're going to forget the word heart attack. What is a heart attack? What's death? And John, he sees this amazing image. He sees the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And I just realized this fact. In Revelation 21, it talks about how the city was the measure of the city is 12,000 furlongs. Now, we translate that into 345 miles wide on each side, right? So that would take, if you were driving on a car, it would take you 3 to 4 hours to just get to one side of the city, right? That's a big city. That's how, like 20 times bigger than New York. Probably more than that. It would be that long, right? And not just that. That's not the amazing part. The amazing part is that it will be 345 miles high. Do you know how high that is? Let's look at it. This would be like the highest mountain, Mount Everest, which is about 24,000 feet high. That's not even a quarter of a mile. That's on the troposphere. The stratosphere is where all the clouds are, and the mesosphere is where all the frozen clouds are. But it's higher than that. It's way higher than that. That's only 100 miles up. We go up and up and up and up and up and up. You see this? This is a satellite. The city, the top of it will reach high above the satellites, where the satellites orbit. We'll be on above the ionosphere. So if I wanted to have my house somewhere like in the middle of the, halfway up the top of the city, this will be my view from the earth. Someone said, that's too scary. There'd be no fear of death. You can skydive and not think about dying. But you will be seen from this far up. You see the whole thing. That's why the Bible calls it Mount Zion. Mount Zion. And in Psalms 99, verse 2, it says, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. That's why in Psalms 121, verse 1, David says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. And that's why it's going to be a literal application when we say, that's the Most High. Because he will be sitting high above the earth, 345 miles high above the earth. And the city will be the capital of the universe. It will be the New York of the universe, of everything. In Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you actually imagine that feeling? I can't. It feels weird to not think about death. Can you imagine watching the heavenly news and not one news is talking about death or someone dying? Or someone just got hit by a car the other day. You won't ever hear that again. Amen. Or World War II have just started. That won't ever be heard again. Isaiah 11, verse 6 and 9, it says, the leopard shall lie down with the young kid. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And in several other texts, it says that the lion will eat straw like an ox. In other words, there'll be vegetarian lions. Yeah. All the lions, all the animals will be vegetarians. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. It's going to be so powerful. You know, I love it. I feel heaven already when I see my cat and my dog, they're actually laying down next to each other. Usually they always fight, but there's some days where it's like it's so hot outside they don't feel like chasing each other, so they just lay next to each other. That is the most beautiful thing ever, to see enemies Just sit down like friends.
Amen.
You don't think about a lion going to eat anybody. You know, you see a little kid running up to a big, ferocious lion. I mean, today we would think, no, don't go. The kid would go and run back, and he would lead them, and all the animals would be peaceful. Everything. And the Bible talks about the tree of life, that it will arch over the river of life. And that perhaps that will be really high. And it will give 12 manner of fruits for every month. And in Luke 12, verse 37, it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." In other words, when we get to heaven, Jesus, he's going to sit us down on the heavenly table, like the way he sat down the 5,000 to feed them with the bread. He's going to serve us as if we deserve to be served. He's going to serve us like we're kings. He's going to say, "Hey, do you want your manna scrambled or sauteed? Which way do you want it? How do you like your heavenly pancakes? Do you want me to put some fruit from the tree of life on it?" Oh, Jesus, come on. You're too nice. Come on, Jesus. You're too nice. I just can't wait for the moment when I get to look at the corner of the table and say, "Jesus, can you please pass the jelly? Please. I can't believe it's not butter. It's not made out of cow milk. Praise the Lord." And so on. I mean, it's going to be powerful to see Jesus, God, actually doing service for us. He first loved us. That's why we love him. And in Revelation 14, verse 4, it talks about the 144,000 saints. It says, "These are the ones who shall follow the Lamb wherever he goes." That's going to be powerful. See Jesus walking down the New Jerusalem. I say, "Jesus, hey, where are you going?" "I'm going to Galaxy Zillion Billion." "Galaxy Zillion, can I go with you?" "Oh, sure." And then we go up. And like that song says, we're walking in Emmanuel ground, on Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high.
Yeah.
We will see worlds that we've never imagined before. Planets with several moons. Waters with just different tastes. Some, perhaps, they have seed that tastes like Pepsi Cola, perhaps. But everything is going to be so weird. We will see worlds that we just cannot imagine here. Star Wars, Star Trek would just look like Rugrats. All that stuff. I say, "Hey, Jesus, can I build my house on the rings of Saturn and live here for 100 years and go back to New York?" "Oh, sure. This is the universe. This is my universe." We will get to go anywhere with the Lord. And once we come back from that, the Bible says on the Sabbath, in Isaiah 66, verse 23, "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." So after we come back from our trip, from studying all the other worlds, we just cannot wait to praise God and sing glory to him. And as there's millions and millions and millions that are just circling around Jesus like a hurricane, like a tornado, we're all singing praises to God. "Oh Lord, how God, when I wonder and consider all the worlds thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunders, and thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." Then sings my soul. We all will be singing our hearts out to God as we realize the Creator and his love. We will be understanding new revelations. We will be understanding new things from his own mouth. We will be singing songs. And I can just imagine it as the air and the atmosphere is just vibrating with the sounds of just innumerable creatures singing all in unity towards God. Everything stops. Why stop singing? Shh. Why is that? Shh. What's going on? God is going to sing. God is going to sing? Because the Bible says in Zephaniah 3 verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? When all the heavenly hosts are quiet. And then you hear this voice from the center of the throne, from the center of the four living beasts, the center of the cherubims and the seraphims that worship God, in the center of the 24 elders, in the center of the 144,000 saints, in the center of all the innumerable angels and worlds and galaxies, you hear the sweet, sweet, sweet voice that you recognize since you were born. You hear the voice that has been calling to your heart, that has been speaking to you in a still, small voice. Singing the most lovely song the world has ever heard. You will hear God sing to you a love song that cannot be imagined. And in closing, you know, when I was a child, what was heaven to me was being in the arms of my mom, like, you know, just sitting in church, just waiting for church service to be over. I would just lay on her just shoulder, her stomach, and just lay there. And I felt so secure. I felt so at peace and safe and loved. And I used to hear the sounds of her stomach making sounds. And hear her heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And when she would talk, I would feel her body vibrating. And I would ask the questions and say, "Hey, Mom, why do your wrinkles in your hands are so different from mine? Look at her hands, play with it." But you know what? I cannot wait when you and I will be laying in the everlasting arms of God. That is heaven. To be in the presence of Jesus. To be laying on his shoulder. As he speaks, you will feel his body vibrating. As he talks, you will feel his breath. And you will hear him talk, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." And as he talks and talks, you ask him dumb questions, smart questions, any questions. "God, why is the sky blue? God, this and that." Then you take his hands. Say, "God, like the Bible says, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend." Looking in the hands of God, we will see the scars that he received to save us. Those hands of love. Those hands that grafted the universe just laid there as it was being nailed to the cross. He could have killed all of them, but he loved us so much. It says because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He continued to go on. And God, he would say, "Man, I've loved you with an everlasting love." And no matter where we go, as we survey the lands of anywhere we go, we will see just the love of God in every detail.
Yeah.
We will see the mysteries of red love with unfailing curiosity, because the heavens declare his handiwork, everything. And eventually, we will see that from the minute atom to the greatest worlds, all things will declare that God is love. That's going to be so powerful. That's heaven. To be surrounded in the hands of your living God, Jesus. Now, who wants to go home?
Amen.
I really can't wait to go home. Because this life is so complicated. I can't wait to actually go out there and say, whew, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. Amen. And I would fly, I would take wings like a dove and be at rest. Now, let's pick up our hymnals and sing 287.